Previously on Algoa FM.
Jared Aston, good morning.
Morning, Charles. Good to be with you. Morning. Hey. Hope everything is well in your part of the world.
Yeah, so far so good. Are you in Cape Town, by the way?
I am in Cape Town. I've been here 7 years. It's a beautiful sunny day. The sun is coming up as I'm looking over the Signal Hill. So it's looking amazing today.
Living in the land of better service delivery and less power cuts. Got to love.
Yeah. Don't speak too soon. We've got coming at 10 o'clock today. Hopefully it doesn't come.
Don't worry. Mayor Jordan Hill Lewis will have a stern word with those concerned and sort that right out.
Yeah, I hope he does.
It's weird that you and I have had kind of business dealings relating to me as compiler and you as a representative of the South African music industry, because I was one of the people standing in the Green Acres food court in 1988, screaming and singing along to the band Cinema. So yeah, this is somewhere between bucket lists and small freak out, I won't lie, because you guys were South Africa's, I don't want to say boy band, because you weren't a boy band, you were a real band, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I remember Green Acres Shopping Centre really well. It was one of the highlights of our tours. You know, it was right in the early days when My Kind of Girl had just broken and we'd had a lot of airplay. And we came down and played that mall. And I don't think anybody expected that amount of people to be there.
It was freaky. There really was. I'm sure if there were fire safety marshals were taken more seriously in that day, they would have had to evacuate the place. It really was that full.
Yeah. It's crazy. What a great experience. What a great memory. I still had long hair in those days.
Yeah.
I had my John Bon Jovi poodle cut, as they call it.
Right. Not quite a mullet.
Not quite a mullet. Well, it probably was, but we won't talk about that.
Yeah.
And I had this leather jacket with these leather tassels dropping down the side. And young girls were coming up to me with scissors, cutting locks of my hair and cutting, these little tassels from my jacket. And we didn't have any security in those days. And it was going crazy. And then, after we performed, these same people would come up and say, please, can you sign this piece of paper with my hair?
That's crazy.
But a great, great memory of that part of the world. And I love it down there. It really is a friendly part of the world. And we had great times down there.
Unfortunately, then we had to grow up. But, that's how life works, I suppose. But do you think back of that as an absolutely unreal time?
Absolutely. I mean, I never want to really dwell in the past. I always believe that anything happens in the past, it's a great experience, but I move on, and my good old days are the days that I'm living in right now. But those cinema days, those 12 years that the band toured and performed and released albums, was an absolutely amazing time for us. That was sort of my grounding in the music industry. I learned a lot. I learned how radio stations work, TV stations. I learned about recording studios and production. And of course, getting the chance to play music to people that paid money to come and watch us perform and sing our songs was just absolutely mind-boggling.
Yeah.
And I was so grateful every time we got up on stage and, we played to, like Orient Theatre in East London, and I'm not sure if it's still there. But,
yep, it is.
We played there.
Yeah.
We would fill that, for two nights, and I was just absolutely blown away. So it was a great, great experience. And, I'm also just really humbled and grateful that songs like My Kind of Girl and Strangers Again and Inside and Out are still being played on radio today, and it just blows my mind. I can't believe it, but truly grateful, and had a wonderful time with some really great people and made some great friends. I'm still friends with most of the people from those days today. We still talk, we're still friends, and talk about the good old days, I suppose.
Yeah, surely. Tell me very quickly, is it true? I read a tongue-in-cheek article that said your first album sold 503 copies. It seems like slightly random.
It sounds like a lot. Probably less than that.
Okay.
I probably sold 3 copies and 500 were family members.
Got it. So the question that I have is, not question so much as, I didn't realize that you started off as the drummer.
That's right, yeah. I started off in the industry in 1984 with a band called Face to Face.
Yes.
Here we are.
Here we are.
I was a drummer. Yeah, I was a drummer with that band, and then I left Face to Face. The band split up, and I sort of jumped around a few bands. I played in an all-girl band called Chess for about a year, and then I got a call from Chris Frank, who was the bass player in Cinema, who was actually the bass player for Pierre de Chamois at the time. And Face to Face had played the concert in the park with Pierre de Chamois and a whole bunch of other artists in 85. And Chris said, hey, listen, we're looking for a drummer. We've got this band, and we, you know, we're looking at writing songs. Would you like to join? And I was like, yeah, great. You know, this is another gig. So I joined the band as a drummer, eventually playing at Goldie City in Joburg. And we played pub gigs and played on a Sunday afternoon in the beer garden. And one Sunday afternoon, I had a couple too many beers, and they dared me to sing a song. So I got up and I sang John Lennon's Imagine, and people clapped after I finished singing. And I thought, wow, this is great. This is nicer than sitting behind the drums and being inconspicuous. So, you know, lo and behold, I started singing more. And then I started writing songs with Chris, and eventually the lead singer at the time, he left the band. He couldn't tour. He was getting married. And I took over lead vocals, and the rest, as they say, is history.
Yeah, very much so.
Carnegie was released, and that was it, the start of Cinema. That was the second album. Yeah, I wasn't involved with the first album.
The 503 copies. Yeah, okay.
The 503 copies, yeah. And the second album was Somewhere in Time, which was the album that had Mike Carnegie and all the other hits on it.
Right. And you have fans in the Philippines as a consequence of the Strangers Again release in 96, or re-release in 96. It would appear.
Can you believe it? Yeah, it's crazy.
And along the way, you've managed Watershed. I didn't know that.
Yeah, I managed Watershed before I moved to Cape Town. So probably about 9 years ago, Craig and I known each other on and off, back and forward. And he called me one day and said, look, let's get together and have a chat. They're looking to relaunch and doing some albums, and would I be interested in getting involved? So I had an agency for 20 years in Johannesburg that was doing really well. And we were doing, you know, a lot of gigs around the country, corporate gigs, festivals, concerts, and we looked after most of the casinos around the country. So, I started working with Craig. You know, we clicked really nicely. So, you know, I managed the band for about 4 years and did really well. We were on tour with Roxette, their final, you know, world tour.
Oh, wow, yes.
And did some amazing shows with the band. But then, you know, my life got kind of busy with other businesses, and my head wasn't into management anymore. So I got more involved in the businesses that I'm involved in now, a business called Radio Monitor, where we monitor radio, basically. We monitor music being played on radio globally in 120 countries.
Yo.
And we give music artists, composers, publishers, labels, radio stations the data and the analysis for their radio play globally. And it's a really successful business. I'm involved in another business as well, but we look after music rights and data analysis for rights holders to make sure that they get paid correctly on all the different platforms like radio, like streaming, YouTube, TikTok, et cetera, so that, yeah, that's where my focus has been for the last 7 years. I couldn't manage bands anymore.
And I think that the South African music industry owes you a kind of double debt of gratitude, not only for being kind of one of the living legends of South African music, but for all that you've done in terms of rights and royalties and stuff, and making sure that the people who should get paid get paid.
Well, I mean, thank you for that. I'm not sure if I'm a living legend, but I appreciate that, those words.
Yeah.
You know, for me, you know, when I was performing back in the 80s and the 90s, we didn't have these kind of tools. You know, we kind of went on the feedback from our PR companies and our record labels to tell us that the songs were getting played. And we would also get real-time feedback from local communities, you know, fan letters and touring. We never really knew where our music was being played. It was also a different game back then, because we built relationships with compilers at radio stations, and we kind of, I don't think that's really happening nowadays as much as it was back then. But really, like a business like Radio Monitor is a great tool for music artists to know exactly who's playing their music, when the music is being played, and how many times. And you know, that gives them an idea of what markets to go to tour. They can tell if the music is getting played on Algo FM, how many times, and should they come down to, you know, the Eastern Cape and perform shows and push their market there. And, you know, you push that out on a global basis. It really gives good insights into where your music is getting played. And, you know, you can use that data along with streaming data and all the other platforms that are available to kickstart your career a lot better and to really understand your markets in a much better way than you could 20 or 30 years ago.
Yeah.
So, you know, and during COVID, we had, you know, we assisted many, many composers with getting royalties from the rights societies and helped them in a big way, up to, you know, some artists were getting 500,000-700,000 rand that they never knew that they had owed to them. It's, you know, it really bailed them out of a lot of mess during COVID and allowed them to survive. And, you know, that makes my heart very full, because I've always said I wanted to be of service after I quit performing and to do the best that I can in the music industry side of it. So, you know, that made my heart very, very happy to know that we could assist a lot of artists. And we're talking about some very big names that were really struggling at the time, but that we managed to assist.
Cool. So you gave up the sex, drugs, and rock and roll for family life with Anna, took up running, you freak. what's chasing you? No, I'm kidding. You seem to be quite the active half and full marathon runner, and I'm just like, no.
Yeah, who would have ever thought? You know, I started running when I moved to Cape Town in 2016. Just as a bit of fun, running 5 kilometers along the
farm. And because
it's safer there. And because it's safer, of course. I mean, I never knew about running in Joburg, because, you know, I was like, if I go to the gym to swipe my card to get my 300 points for my for my medical aid.
And your peanut bomb smoothie.
exactly. Which, you know, I would never go back and try and work off the smoothie after I've had it. But yeah, I got into running, and it said the bug bit and the healthy lifestyle, you know. But I haven't, you know, don't drink alcohol, I don't smoke cigarettes, and I was never the six drugs and rock and roll type
of thing. Fair enough.
Definitely no drugs, but I got into running, yeah, and it, you know, just the bug bit. I've run everything from 5 kilometers up to Comrades, and I'm absolutely loving it. Struggling this year with some injuries. I broke my ankle in January, so I haven't been running as much as I should, but getting back into it, and next year, you know, I'll come back, I'll run Comrades again. It's a great activity, and it shows with me being able to do it. I only started running at the age of 50, and I've been running 6 years now, so it just shows anybody can get off that couch and go out there and have a run. Start with 3 or 4 kilometers, nice and slowly, and work your way up, and I promise you, it does a world of good. It's a great.
Are you calling me fat?
I'm saying it to anybody. Jump off, get off the couch, and go for a run.
I realize now, as you're talking, that you are a couple of years older than I am, so there is also that. And it sounds borderline like a dare. Anyway, very quickly, because we run out of time spectacularly, some advice for South African musos?
You know, just hang in there. The industry at the moment is such a vibrant industry. There's so many South African artists that are doing so well locally and globally. And I would say, you know, just like anything in any business, that huge opportunity is just around the corner. Get out there, write songs, write lots of songs, perform anywhere and everywhere that you can, even if you have to do it for free. Pay your dues. Go out and have fun, and most of all, enjoy what you do, and know who you are. You know, sum up your career or your band in two sentences or less. This is who we are, and this is what we do.
Nice.
And with that, you'll know who you are, and your fans will know too, and they'll buy into that quickly.
So the last burning question is, a few thousand of my friends and I with our Zimmer frames and everything else are wondering, is there ever going to be a reunion concert or a reunion tour or a reunion something for cinema?
You make me feel so old. I doubt it. I mean, my head's not there anymore. As I said earlier, you know, the good old days were back then. My good old days are right now.
Cool.
If there was an opportunity to do a charity event, And get the guys together, possibly, but there's definitely wouldn't be a tour around the country, that's for sure.
Yeah. So you shared a few songs with me. I've selected Journeys Faithfully, Phil Collins In the Air Tonight, Fiction Factory Feels Like Heaven, and Go West We Close Our Eyes from the list of 10 that you sent. And we're going to take a listen to those and have fond thoughts and plenty happy memories of the band Cinema from the 80s and knowing that you're still doing great work in the South African music industry. Thanks for taking a little time out.
It's an absolute pleasure. I would normally be running, but I've got a broken ankle recovery, so it's great to spend the time with you and having this chat. Thanks for having me.
Absolute pleasure.
Your digital library experience. Podcasts from algoafm.co.za.